You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Buck, and Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at the very end of the show, around 10:51-ish, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Here Kitty Kitty edition. I would encourage you to stick around for that for a few laughs. Tisbet, as we call it. Yes, wrapping indeed. Up the show. This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Coming up around 10:51. Happy to be joined by our friend Corinne Hendrickson, has been our guest many, many times over the past few months, particularly as we talk about childcare issues in Wisconsin. You were a child care provider for a long time, Corinne, and good morning, first of all, and now you have to make a change.
Yeah, good morning. Are you able to hear me, or did I just get weird?
No, well, you're good. You're good.
We're good? Okay. So, all right. So, yeah, my oldest son is actually going to college, so I'm on the Memorial Union Terrace while he signs up for his classes, and yeah, I will be closing my business August 29th because there just wasn't enough funding in the state budget for me to continue staying open without outpricing my parents. And at the end of the day, after 18 years, I finally am realizing I need to put my family and myself first too. And I have to be able to, you know that I will be okay. And if I would have tried to struggle like I did last year, the boat, the open spots right now was not getting them filled. And it was end of September before they were filled. And I struggled with wondering, what do I do? How do I stay open? And where do these kids go? So this summer, as I was watching the budget proceed and realized we're probably not going to get what I need in order to stay open and affordable, I started talking with my colleague, Brooke Legler, who has a group center, to see if she would have a couple spots for the children I have left to take in September, because that's how childcare works.
Right.
We rotate our kids in September because that's when they go to school. And so, yes, she was that she would be able to get them in. So I'm at peace with how I'm closing, but I'm very upset and, you know, angry. I mean, to be honest, I'm angry that I'm closing in this way because I was not ready to close my business.
Well, and you've been doing this for 18 years, and we've talked about this many times before, Corinne. You weren't doing this because you were making just scads and scads of money, and you have a second home in Vienna or wherever. No. You were doing this because you like children, and you believe in preparing kids to go to school, and that is not just babysitting. What you do and what so many of our childcare providers do is really set them up to learn and teach them how to learn. So yeah. I think still,
yes, and
I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what our child care providers do.
Oh, yes, absolutely. All the hours and all the trainings, all the courses, all of, you know, I am passionate about inclusion of children with disabilities and making sure that they have places to go. I've had over 15 children who have had special needs, as small as speech and as large as autism. And, you know, really taking the time to learn about those kids and how to meet their needs, and also really work with their parents to first take away the stigma that it's not anything they did wrong as a parent, that their child needs extra support,
right,
but then give them help and support and how to access that. And you know, that's a lot of what I do too, is teach parents how to be better parents and how to navigate parenthood and just, you know, prepare these kids to be good humans. And not only do I have kids up to the age of 5, but in the summertime and after school, I get my alumni, I call them, they come back. And so, you know, I have had kids now this summer, an 11-year-old, she's been with me since born. And, you know, it's wonderful that I get to get her back in the summertime and, you know, continue that care and education that they need when there's no school available.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest piece we're missing, is school is one thing, preschool, keep pushing down, what, fine, whatever. But what do those parents do outside of those hours? They rely on childcare and high quality environments for their kids to learn. And schools rely on us to exist so that those kids are in good places during the summer and before and after school. And, you know, it's just, it's a vicious cycle that we are perpetuating for absolutely no reason.
Corrine, for people who don't know, and we're watching the budget talks and the signings that happen, some of them might be saying, well, there was money put into the childcare funding and you guys got money. Why are you closing? What's the problem? Can you explain to them the truth behind the funding that you were going to be getting through the budget that was signed a couple weeks ago by Governor Evers?
Yep, absolutely. So yes, $360 million was allocated to childcare. $1 billion was closer to the number that we were asking for total. And so we got about a third. $480 million separately was for direct state investment to get us back to the monthly payments we were receiving in 2021 and 2022. And how much has inflation gone up since then? Let's be honest. Like, that's not even what we needed. And so of the $480 million direct that goes to 4,700 regulated programs, about 200,000 children and 30,000 teachers and employees, we got $110 million for 11 months. When you break that down with those massive numbers, you understand it's tiny. And it's not, you know, nearly what we need in order to keep teachers in place. And one of the things that I did notice that was in the budget was Senator Markwein earmarked, $2 million was earmarked for Senator Markwein's district. I don't know if he did it, for Southwest Hospital for a grant, which they already had matching funds in order to build a childcare center at the new hospital. Well, this, I've talked to some of the providers in that area. They have empty classrooms and they're terrified those their teachers are going to go now work at this hospital because the company that is going to run it is out of Minnesota, has over 100 programs. They can offer a little bit more money. So they're going to take those teachers from those small locally owned businesses and they're going to hire them because they're qualified and can pay more. And then those programs are probably going to close because they can't then hire new teachers. And so, yes, the idea is to open new programs because ideally you'll get more spots. But if you don't have teachers, it doesn't matter. We have 33,000 empty seats sitting right now in programs. I don't know of a single group center that does not have empty spots because they don't have enough teachers. By adding to the, it adds to the problem, it doesn't take away, and you end up actually making fewer slots overall because of the closures.
Yep. Just for to clarify for folks who are listening, you're not talking about open spots for kids. We're talking about needed childcare teachers.
No.
We need.
Open spots for children because there's no teachers to be there for the kids. So these programs have, like Brooke in my community has, she could have 60 more children in her program, but she doesn't have the teachers for those kids. And there's kids on that wait list. And so the problem is the teachers and being able to afford to pay the teachers, but parents can't pay enough for us to pay ourselves or teachers.
Well, and it goes back to, another Republican fix for this was, well, let's just lower the age of teachers and let's lower the qualifications for teachers. Let's just bring in some 15-year-olds and that's going to replace someone who has been educated in child development and all of those things. There's the fix. That's not a fix.
No, not at all. And especially when I have kids in my program that are exhibiting some behaviors like biting, I have a hard time talking to those parents about why the child is getting bit and why the child is biting and how to support that and how to move through it because it's a developmental stage. I don't know how a 16-year-old is going to have that conversation with a parent. Going to happen.
No.
That 16-year-old is going to be blamed. Those parents are going to be mad. And I really would want to make sure that there's a requirement if we have if we have children watching children in our programs, that there needs to be parents signing off, understanding that that's who is in that classroom at that time. And another thing is a lot of insurance companies aren't going to allow it. So these solutions are things that we're not even going to be able to access, or they tell us it's a choice. Well, I'm sorry, it might be a choice, but I might starve to death and you might offer me moldy food and I'm choosing to starve. But at the same time, like it's not a choice. It doesn't have to be.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Corrine Hendrickson, who is a family child care provider, had to make the very difficult decision to close her business. Announced it last week on Pat Kreitlow's show about it. And Corrine, one of the things that, I guess because I don't work in Madison and I don't work in this industry, I guess the question I have for you is the responses you may have gotten from those who didn't want to give you the money. What They gave you these official fixes, whether it and when I say fixes, I mean in heavy quotations. But it just, I guess to me, the question I have for you is, why wouldn't they just say, yes, here is more money to educate our children? It seems short-sighted is a nice way of putting it, but it seems like deliberate and just mean-spirited to say, well, we're not going to give you the money and you have to deal with it. And if you can't, then, well, that's the free market.
Yeah, I wish I knew, because they refuse to tell us why. They refuse to say why they do not want to invest. And so I can infer it's because they want women to stay home. I can infer that it's because they don't think our children are worth a penny. I can infer a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I can, think that they think 16-year-old and more children is the answer, because they're looking at children as a mathematical equation and not as human beings, and that we're taking away their ability to thrive. We are going to put them on the path to go to prison, which, hey, by the way, you get $1 million for a child to incarcerate them per year. So for the low, low price of 480 incarcerated children, we could support our entire childcare system.
And I want to touch on that moment, that point of young people teaching. And it was either you or Trisha Peterson who spoke about it. And I'm going to phrase this cautiously. There's nothing wrong with younger people teaching children, because you have programs which will basically be like apprentice programs where they can learn. They're paired with an adult teacher, someone who has experience, and that type of program, as someone who was an apprentice, seems like a great thing to fund, to take those 16-year-olds that you say, yeah, you can teach, but let's make it so over the next 5 years, you're going to learn all those skills. And then when you're 20 something, you're certified, you're ready, you can open your own business or whatever. But I mean, there is the kernel of truth that 16-year-olds working this job isn't a bad thing if they have the supervision, the oversight,
the mentorship,
and the desire to do it. It can't also just be like, hey, do you want to babysit this summer? And they're actually teaching kids.
Yeah, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. Minnesota actually is doing a mentorship program where the children, the students, adults also are able to access the classes for free. And then the mentor gets paid by the state to do the mentoring. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the mentee gets paid by the state to learn. And so it's not overhead cost on us as the childcare owners to do that. And yes, like I would love to apprentice, a 16, 17-year-old in my program where I can teach them and I can watch them and observe them and give them positive feedback and let them open their own family childcare when they're, mid-20s. That'd be fabulous. Yep. But the way we're doing it right now is we're throwing these children in to the wolves, and they're going to run away screaming and not even want children mm-hmm. by the time they're done with this experience.
Corinne, this could all be fixed if women like you would just do it for nothing. That'd just be such an easy fix. If women just dropped out of the workforce and did labor for free, I think that's the answer.
I'm going to say nothing right now.
Ron Johnson has told me that to my face.
Oh, God.
That you should do it for free?
Yeah.
Seriously.
In his office. Yes, in his office a few years ago when I was in D.C., he literally said, wouldn't an elegant solution be for moms like you to watch other people's children while they work? And I was like, for free? And he did not respond to that. And so that answer was a yes.
Well, I got to digest that for just a minute.
I'm never going to forget that.
And we're going to continue our conversation with Corinne Hendrickson when I recover. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, we will lighten it up as we always do with a segment we call Audio Sorbet. Calvin? Kind of hanging out here waiting for the sorbet. Harps Audio Sorbet after 10:30 will be, do you subtitle or dubs? Do you read subtitles when you're watching television or a movie, or do you do the dub route? That is our groundbreaking conversation we'll have after 10:30, and then we'll wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Here Kitty Kitty edition. Right now, Corrine Hendrickson is our guest, 18-year child care provider in Wisconsin, and now is going to be closing, sadly, at the end of August, because the budget agreement that was reached here in Wisconsin is not doing enough for our child care providers. And right before we had to take a pause, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, that I don't know that Greg and I have ever heard this before.
I've never heard this.
I think let's go back to that conversation you had with Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
So, yeah, I was there with Main Street Alliance. There were several of us talking about small businesses and the need for investment in things that would support small businesses, including childcare. And he called me healthcare about three times also. And I kept correcting him and saying, no, I run a childcare. And then I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home. And so the other moms can go to work at their whatever, maybe more important jobs, I don't know, so that they can go to work and then you can keep their kids. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that. And he just kind of looked at me and tried to change the subject really quickly. And Sean actually then said, you don't think that people like her should be able to run their small business and get paid? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know. And then the conversation moved on. He was It was a group of men and women, and with the women, he was very much in our faces. And then when the men talked, he was very laid back.
No.
So the group of us tried really hard. Like, the guys in there were very supportive. And so they would try in their way to kind of like say what they could to bring the conversation back around and talk about how, as restaurant owners, they needed childcare for their employees and things like that. And it was just, it was a 101 in what is wrong with our elected officials, honestly.
Okay. Where do I start? First of all, an elegant solution. That was him trying to be fun or
yes,
whatever. Lighthearted. And once again, missing the mark, as he always does, as he needs a sense of humor and human emotions to do that. But also, do you think there is a business person on earth who would walk into his office, who would say, I'm struggling, I need help? Like I manufacture a widget that, you know, steals something for cars. Do you think he would dare have the notion to say, well, if you just did it for free, I mean, why don't you just do it for free? Then, well, you should be fine. I mean, what's wrong with just doing your job for free? Then you don't have to worry about it.
Why didn't he tell the restaurant owners to get servers who will just do it for nothing? Then that's our answer. That's our answer for everything is we need more people doing jobs who don't get paid. That's the fix.
Well, it kind of is how.
That's the fix.
Kind of how things work. That's kind of how things work. We exploit people for the lowest amount possible.
Yeah.
Oh. So they can get richer. I mean, it is what it is. They just don't say it so blatantly obvious. And I do think it's because women in general, our entire system of childcare is built on the backs of women with young children who quit their jobs, who cannot find care, who open their own family childcares, or go work in a group center so that their kids can be around other kids and they can bring in a tiny amount of salary. That is what our entire system has been built on historically. And it has worked in the past because enough of us are willing to do it. Well, we're no longer willing to do it. And also, any job pays way more than what we get paid. And so there's not people that are, I guess, desperate enough to like have some income and do this high, high intense job that is mentally, physically exhausting and draining, but yet at the same time, so wonderful and fulfilling at the same time. And that's kind of what keeps us going. And that's why we're in this weird space.
Yeah.
And that's why the system keeps perpetuating upon itself. And we need to get elected reps at the state and federal level who absolutely understand that childcare is education for our children. It is workforce development. It is criminal, gets rid of the crime, it gets rid of crime, reduces healthcare costs. It is the linchpin of our entire society. And if we care about kids, we need to take care of them from the beginning and their families and the communities that support them.
I feel like the bar is set really low at this point, where I would just like to have a representative who understands the difference between a healthcare provider and a child care provider. Can we just, let's just start there.
Well, if you would like to call Ron Johnson and point out the distinction between healthcare and child care, there's an easy way for you to get a hold of him.
Very easy.
Go to myvote.wi.gov and let Senator Ron Johnson know how you feel about his idea that the elegant solution to our child care problem is just for women to drop out of the workforce and watch everybody else's kids for free. I think I might call myvote.wi.gov. Let Rojo know what you think about him in the nicest way possible.
Hashtag let Rojo know.
Let Rojo know. Corrine Hendrickson, thank you so very much for making time out with us. We will continue our conversations with you and love to see politics. I don't know. Maybe think about it.
We'll see.
Corrine Hendrickson, thank you so very much. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome. I will have lots of time.
Yeah.
Great. We have news coming up next, and then we'll come back with Audio Sorbet. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, myvote.wi.gov, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I think you coming here in 2019 and then coming into this season and how your coaching staff has been together now a couple of years, the roster's kind of coming together. You spent some time this offseason thinking about what's left. I mean, you've learned a lot, right? But how do I get to that next step?
I think that's what we're always hunting, is trying to figure out how to get everybody to elevate. Myself, our staff, our support staff, and certainly our players, because they're the ones out there going to play the game. So that is at the forefront of our mind all the time.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, coming to you live from Civic Media's world headquarters here on State Street in downtown Madison. We have Sweet Calvi back in Racine manning the board at Radio Park. And Dom is also here in Madison to make sure we don't break things before Todd gets back next week. Todd is in Green Bay today. That clip you heard was Mike, our very own Mike Clemens, Civic Media's sports reporter, who is on the road. He is in Green Bay for training camp, which is underway, and we're trying to connect with him right now. You can always join us if you want to talk some sports balls, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Going to talk a little sports.
Absolutely. I believe Mike is calling through right now, so we're just waiting for him to be put through the line. And one of the things we will be talking to him about will be the Red Hot Brewers. And also the fact that, I mean, every year it's always the same. It's, for me personally, football's done, and then all of a sudden football is here.
It really doesn't seem to go away for very long, does it?
No, it doesn't. That's also the same with like basketball. Basketball's finished, and then boom. And speaking of boom, we have Mr. Mike Clemens on the line right now. Mike, how are you doing, sir?
Okay, I'm watching players ride the kids' bikes into practice, and then they start off practice inside the Hudson Center, then they run their secret plays, you know, like the Statue of Liberty and the flea flicker and that kind of thing. And then they'll be out in practice for about the next hour and a half, 2 hours on the Ray Nitschke practice field.
There is really a lot of excitement, even though this has been going on for decades and decades and decades with the players riding the kids' bikes. It's still a huge thing.
Yeah, you know, I get some people, and I understand this, When I say, they say, where are you going? I go, I've got to go to Green Bay now. I'll be there till Labor Day training camp. They go, oh my God, football. I'm just getting into summer. I go, I know. But you know, training camp used to be like 6 weeks long with two-a-days and things like that. But it's when you have this long season, it takes that long to get these guys in shape to evaluate who's going to make the team. And I try not to overdo it in terms of the coverage because I get people right now are excited about the Brewers, and they should be, or going to water ski shows in the Dells or whatever, you know. But,
right.
But the fact is, for these guys, football's underway.
Absolutely. And it's sort of like school too, where you're like the kids are out of school. It's back to school already? My God, it's just July.
Well, and it almost sounds like you have to ease them back into learning, right?
Yeah.
You have to ease them back into football a little bit.
Yeah, and they have these collective bargaining agreement where they're trying to protect players and extend their careers so they can make more of those NFL checks. And so, they don't put on the pads until after 4 days. And we was just talking to LaFleur about this. I said, what do you try and get done in these 4 days with just helmets and shorts and no pads? And he says, I want to train these guys, particularly the new ones, on how practice is going to be for the rest of the year. So that when they do it like an 11-on-11 scrimmage, when they're like playing football, first of all, this is the first opportunity now as a coach. You can let these guys go 100% at full speed. But secondly, you don't end up on the ground. You don't touch the quarterback. And so you have to sort of teach those habits so you have good, clean practices. And then you put on the pads next week and you follow the same thing. Don't kill my quarterback. Don't put my running back on the ground.
Yeah.
But wrap up, right? So you get into a good practice that way. And it's a good dress rehearsal for the padded practices next week.
And in non-practice news, though, the Packers have unveiled a new locker room at the stadium.
You know, Greg, I can't think of a better term because in an old guy, it's very Tron.
Tron?
Yeah, there was a show in the 80s called Tron or something.
I remember.
Bike thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
It was a movie.
It was a movie. Starring Bruce Boxleitner and Jeff Bridges. Yes, absolutely. Love it. I love that movie.
So we go from like this old wood, a heritage kind of feel to, the deck of the Starship Enterprise or something. And here's the funny thing. A guy about a month ago tipped me off when I was up here at a meeting. I said, so what's it going to look like? And he says, oh, Mike, he says, it's amazing. It's got LED lighting. It's got, for the electronics, if you're in your locker room, you can charge your phone. You can, your other electronic devices and blah, blah, blah. And so I told that to the PR guy in the Brewers clubhouse, and he looked around and said, oh, you mean like we did a year ago, which is exactly the truth. The Brewers did the same thing. But at the end of the day, it's much brighter lighting, which what? Helps us out on the TV side, right?
Yeah, sure. Go on.
The other guys that have this stuff, like Giannis and those guys, in the Bucks locker room. So it's and cushioned seats, little things like that that just make it easier on sore legs, sore ankles after a game, after a long practice.
Well, that was the thing I was going to add. That makes sense. I mean, to maximize comfort and just whatever, make it feel more homey. But I was going to ask, because I'm not a football expert. I am not a locker room expert. But I was wondering, all of these improvements, as you said in the notes, it was $21 million to do this. How much of this new locker room is going to guarantee victories? That's what I would like to know.
Well, sexy new locker room, but guess what? It doesn't change what you have to do in order to get there. Okay.
Exactly.
It's not going to be sexy in the practice field tomorrow. I guarantee it. So enjoy your comforts in here, but I'm still going to be, the same demanding guy on what you do on the field. So, don't let this stuff, don't get comfortable with this. Okay.
Yeah.
Because what you're asked to do is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be painful. You're going to break some sweat, but that's what you're here for.
He just doesn't seem, and I know the head coach, he doesn't seem mean enough.
I got news for you, Jane. Matt LaFleur has grown into the role of alpha male here.
Has he?
Yeah.
And part of it, this is not his first or second year, and he's learning from Aaron Rodgers. This is his seventh year. and he's on the clock now. And oh, by the way, the guy who hired him retires tomorrow. And
there's
a sheriff in town. Now, Ed Policy has been with this company now, this team, for 12 years, and he's been there through all the kinds of ups and downs and stuff. Post the Super Bowl win, when Aaron Rodgers led the team to Super Bowl 45, but Ed Policy, it's going to be his ship now, starting next week. And when we asked him, you know, at Civic Media, we got into a little circle of some interviews to meet the new guy who's been here all along through the building of Title Town. And you ask him, hey, by the way, Brian Gutekunst, the GM, and Matt LaFleur are both on, like, two-year contracts. So, you know, this is about the time you start talking about extension. He says, yeah, we'll revisit that at the end of the season.
Don't worry about that. Let me do my job. Let me do my job.
No, Greg, it's more of a, we'll see how this season goes before we
go.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, you never let a coach go with just 1 year left on their extension because you make them a lame duck. Okay?
Yeah, but that makes
essentially,
sense.
Essentially, what's best for the organization, what's best for the team, let's see how these guys perform this year, and then we'll talk about whether or not we're going to renew them for the next 4 or 5 years.
If you're just joining us, Mike Clemens is our guest. He is one of Civic Media's many sports reporters who lives, you essentially live in your car. I give you a lot of credit for all the coverage that you do, Mike, because you are on the road a lot. And you're in Green Bay now until Labor Day, so you're going to be staying with training camp. But there are other things of import as well.
Well, I was just going to, before we move on to my love, one of the things, too, is you discussed was the, you know, what do the Packers need right now that will get them to where, I mean, it seems like the team is in order. They seem like they've got their vibing. Matt LaFleur, as you said, is in seventh year. Jordan Love isn't the rookie new guy. So what do they still need to get to move that team forward to playoffs, to possibly the Super Bowl?
They brought in Josh Jacobs at running back from the Raiders last year, and he was just tremendous and also has become a leader. And after they lost to the Eagles, he says, you know what? We need a number one receiver. Now, even though they took Matthew Golden as their first round pick, to me, Greg, the biggest thing that has to happen for this team, offense, defense, and special teams, is the fact that Jordan Love's got a hookup with Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Romeo Doubs. Those three receivers going into the third year, that's where the production needs to come from. That's where the connection needs to come from if these guys want to get to the next step and closer to a Super Bowl.
All right. I will keep my – I mean, this is an exciting team. Like, now that the Aaron Rodgers years, that's been shaken off, you've got this great, vibrant team, new leadership in the front office. It's going to be a very exciting season, and it's just kicking off.
Yep.
Football, for better or for worse, folks, is back. So
it is back.
Let's move to the Brewers. I mean –
hottest team in baseball, baby.
I mean, Mike, I was having conversations with some of our other sports guys here, and we were just sort of saying, well, I mean, and granted, the season's halfway through, and anything's up for grabs, but I didn't expect to see the Brewers with the best record in baseball and sweeping the Dodgers twice in 2 weeks. What are your thoughts on that?
It starts with the GM, Matt Arnold, and his scouting department, and where do they keep on finding these 23, 24-year-old pitchers? I mean, Mike, starting with the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, at 103 miles an hour. And then some of the development they've had with some of the pitchers that they've had there. So that's made the big difference. The other thing is the way Murphy is coaching them. And in terms of, like, you know, don't strike out. Just do anything you can to get on base. Wear out their pitchers. When you get on base, you've got younger guys that are still speedy and can steal bases. And when I was going to the Dodgers clubhouse every night that they had that series where they got swept, you know, by the World Series team. And Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, told me, he says, Murph is doing it right. He's got that young club. They're stealing bases. They're tough to strike out. They're not making mistakes. And they're a tough team to beat right now. But the other thing is Pat Murphy. I mean, you know, there's definitely this huge void in the press box, in the clubhouse, with Uecker no longer there.
With no Uecker.
Keep it light and make jokes. By nature, and not by his trying, just by who he is, Pat Murphy is filling that void. So now you see the elder statements, the funny guy, but also the guy holding you accountable, is no longer the announcer, it's the manager. And if anything, maybe it's made that bond with these players and Murphy even closer And he's the one who determines if you get in the game tomorrow or not. So
interesting.
Murphy is he's so funny. And you know, Jane, if you walked into the clubhouse, I could take you to a game. He'd say, "Hi, Jane, nice to see you. What's with the shoes?" You know. at first, you'd like, "What is this jerk?" Right? You know. But then you realize when you see him initiate new reporters, new people in, that's the way he works. Now that means you're in the club. You're part,
right, yeah.
Because the next new person comes in, you laugh along with him. That's how
right.
clever this guy is.
I personally love Pat Murphy. I know he's in his second year, but it's a breath of fresh air from, you know, nothing against Craig Counsell. He is one of the greatest coaches, and he's got his style. But Pat Murphy's just loving life, and I'm loving that. And I love that he can do the whole be fun, be funny, but also be an actual coach to it too. As well.
Mike Clemens is live in Green Bay for training camp. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. We will we'll touch base again over the weeks and see how things are going up there. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Greg.
Take care. See you later. Stay close. This Shouldn't Be a Thing is on the way, Underwear Edition. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach coming to you live from Civic Media's world headquarters here high above State Street in downtown Madison. We got Dom with us here in Madison, Calvin back at Radio Park in Racine, and you can always join us as well at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very quickly, breaking news as we come back on the air this morning. TMZ is reporting that wrestling legend Hulk Hogan has passed away at the age of 71. Reports coming in that medics were dispatched to his home in Clearwater, Florida early today. Operators stating it was regarding a cardiac arrest. There aren't a lot of details available at this time, but our thoughts and prayers for the family of Hulk Hogan, who has now died, apparently, reportedly, at the age of 71. A Daily Beast picked it up. That is the only place I saw it.
There were a couple other radio stations that are breaking the news as well, and as we know more, I'm sure it will be talked about as far as his life and times, and probably the most influential wrestler of the modern
and era. How he changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Changed wrestling. Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan gone at the age of 71. Coming up tomorrow, it is Friday. That means it's Free Ticket Friday. So if you don't have the Civic Media app yet, go to wherever you get your apps, download the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. And then tomorrow, starting at 6 o'clock with Pat Kreitlow, he will have a keyword for you to text in using the app. Same with us between 9 and 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, and then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Each of us will have a keyword for you to text in, and then you're in the running for a 4-pack of club-level seats for the July 30th game when the Brewers host the Cubs.
That's right. You know, get comfy in second place, Chicago. That's what I'm saying right now.
That's where you're going to stay.
Yep.
That's where we... So, yes, download the Civic Media app for Free Ticket Fridays. That is coming up tomorrow. Also, Dan Schaefer will be recombobulating with us for a large portion of the show. Right now, though, it's getting late, Calvin. 10:55. That means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from the Associated Press. Charlotte Graham McClay with the byline. The headline reads, "A cat named Leonardo da Vinci doesn't want your affection. He wants to steal your underwear." Wellington, New Zealand. Most cat owners dread their pets bringing home dead mice or birds. But for the owners of one cat in Auckland, New Zealand, there is a worse shame being the accomplice to an unstoppable one cat crime spree. His prolific laundry pinching from clotheslines and bedrooms in Auckland has turned 15-month-old Leah DaPinci into a local celebrity and earned him his new name, Leonardo DaPinci. He has expensive taste. He doesn't just steal any old underwear.
No, he steals great stuff.
He frequently steals silk boxer shorts, thick men's work socks, preferably with clothespins attached. And in one mortifying case, he stole a $300 New Zealand dollar cashmere sweater.
I feel like you're just asking for it to be stolen if you do that. Leah would like to steal the skivvies.
My daughter was at home sick, and she called me at work saying, "It's bad, Mom. It's bad. This is the worst thing he's brought in so far. It's really bad." Because it was a really beautiful sweater, and I was like, "Oh, can't we keep that?" No, you can't keep it. She actually went to a neighborhood, like, what's the one where we rat on our neighbors all the time?
Next door. The next door.
She went to a next door in New Zealand to report all of Leo's stolen goods. Her message in the group chat was, "Are these your undies?"
I got. If you're seeing this, you're in the neighborhood. Check it out. I got the cat burglar here taking all the skivvies, taking all the sweaters.
Unclaimed items, the embarrassed owner took her search for victims wider this month. She put photos of all his stolen stuff on a local Facebook page, along with an apology and her address. People who showed up to claim their belongings included a woman who recognized her pink and purple undies and a boy whose beloved missing sports jersey was easily identifiable because his name was on the back. So, Leo DaPinci.
The cat burglar.
The cat burglar.
Crikey. Oh. Absolutely. We've got a cat burglar here, taking undies, taking sweaters. Can't help it. He's cute.
Kind of got to love this. She says, "All our neighbors think he's actually amazing. Some of them are quite put out that he hasn't actually stolen anything of theirs."
That's why I love New Zealand. If this was America, people would be losing their minds right now. They would be calling for justice. They'd be calling for something. But in New Zealand, they're like, "That's fine. Just take it. I've got more in the drawer."
And now they're like, "What's wrong with my underwear? You want my underwear?"
Yeah. Excuse me. Pardon me. I buy these $7 for a pack of 12, all right? These are quality undies.
They're silk-like. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and Dom and everyone here in Madison and back at Radio Park in Racine and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We got news coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.